Hi, and welcome to the SEO Podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Another fun-filled Friday of SEO or Internet Marketing Information.
Do you know what podcast this is?
10X.
Close. 11X.
Okay.
It's 110. This is podcast number 110. You're listening to the most popular SEO podcast on iTunes. That is because of you, because you guys follow us, tweet us, and I guess ultimately listen.
Yeah.
Well, that's what makes us the most popular, right?
I hope they're listening.
You can follow us, facebook.com/ewebstyle, twitter.com/ewebstyle, youtube.com/ewebstyle, and you can actually watch the video of this podcast live on Friday mornings, broadcast somewhere between 9:15 and 9:45 start time on Friday morning Central Standard Time. All you need to do is go to ewebstyle.com/SEO podcast. By the way, my name is Chris Burris, owner of ewebstyle.
Paul Hanson, what's up, y'all?
As usual, we have a tip from our previous podcast, and our tip from our previous podcast is include links to valuable information in your social media interactions. We were talking about social media in podcast 109. And, you know, one of the important things that came out of there were some statistics, I think, that most tweets or
like
Facebook...
50%, I think, of our... At least 50% of all Facebook posts have links.
Yeah.
At least.
And we didn't have any statistics on which ones actually get viewed or clicked. We're just assuming they get clicked because we click them.
Yeah.
You were saying like, that's the only thing.
I just scroll through, I look for pictures and links, basically. Yep. Videos, pictures, and links. And if it's just posts, I'm like, I don't care. Shut up.
I've got better. I can't read. I don't have time to read. A picture's worth 1,000
words.
Make
me laugh. Thank you.
Here from our Facebook page by Eric Boyles, and that's spelled with an A, A-R-I-C. Love your show. I learn a lot, and you guys crack me up every episode. Thanks for the free edutainment. I'll post a review soon on iTunes. That was actually 19 hours ago. Look how on top of it we are. That's pretty impressive. Thank you, Aaron. Punch in the face to you. I've got a question from Dean Calhoun. It's really complex, and hopefully we won't get to it.
Oh, look at that. We're out of time. Thanks for...
amazing how that works. All right, we had Jeff Moskowitz actually posted a review on iTunes. Woohoo! We're always excited about that. The title is, if this is the only podcast you ever listen to, .. 5 stars. 5 stars. Booyah. That's what's up. You should consider downloading more podcasts. Seriously, these guys have found a way to produce consistently great content in the most entertaining way just by being themselves. Listening to this cast is like eating healthy food that actually has taste.
That's what's up.
That's kind of cool.
We started to disappoint. This is not actually how we really are.
No. Yeah.
We put on a front for the podcast.
Yeah. We're like boring. Like you can't even imagine. Like this one.
That'd be interesting
segment.
If people you see that or you think are really interesting, like actors and stuff, are really just weirdos.
Well, you see people. I don't know if you've ever been around. I don't know, a show or something. And the example I think of is like Patrick. I've been when he's around TV, mm-hmm. And you know you're just chatting.
Yeah.
We were on driving to a radio station, and I forgot to bring the camera because he wanted some pictures in the studio, and he was freaking out about the camera. And in my head, I'm like, if I were just about to be on the radio in the fourth largest city in the country,
I'd be freaking out about
the radio, not the fact that I don't have my camera and I'm not going to have pictures. And so people are just, you know, there's a switch for some people that when they get on stage or get in front, it's on. And also, I got to remind everyone out there, we are your friendly local neighborhood top position snatchers. Where our mantra is, don't be a douche. Hey, anybody play around with that Google Doodle?
Yes, they got me for at least 15, 20 minutes. Late Wednesday, early Thursday morning.
If only we had a good memory and we could remind everyone how much time they estimated was spent on that Pac-Man.
Oh, man, it was like
crazy.
A couple weeks total, like
across the planet.
Yeah, it was like a week or maybe 2 weeks of production that was just lost. Thanks, Google. That was awesome, though.
Yeah. And
bring it back.
Bring back the... Was that Miss Pac-Man or just Pac-Man?
It was Pac-Man. It was the 25th, I think, anniversary of Pac-Man, wow. I believe.
Waka, 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 waka. Who didn't play Pac-Man? Well,
thank you.
Maybe a lot of...
I still play Pac-Man. It's my favorite game of all time.
Do you have an arcade or you just play it?
I have the little stick that you plug into your...
Oh, it's just the stick?
It's just the stick. You plug it into your TV directly and you play.
That's cool. Well, there was actually like 4,000 recordings of using the Google Doodle that went on YouTube, another Google product. And so Google has extended the Les Paul Google Doodle until Friday. Yeah.
I saw a post where a guy says, watch, someone is going to take a bunch of snippets of people's recordings, put it on YouTube, and make a band. Watch, that's going to happen.
The famous Google Doodle Band.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting question. Apple just released an upgrade called Lion, right? It's like a new upgrade, like from Windows 7 to...
From like the upgrade of Leopard?
Yeah.
Snow Leopard?
Snow Leopard, yeah. How much do you think it cost?
$50, $100. I don't know how much their software is.
Well, like an upgrade is typically $100 and something with for Microsoft. $30.
Wow, that's what's up.
$30 to upgrade. Yeah, they're
it
really.
It should be. I mean, I paid $3,000 for the computer, so.
Exactly. Yeah.
It better be.
I actually agree with that. So it's actually another thing that Mac users can sell over Microsoft, right? Like, hey, you're going to, or PCs. When you go out and you get, you're running a Microsoft operating system and they come out with a new upgrade and you're dropping $175 or $300. And they're like, yeah, it's only $30. In fact, $30 is 5 license upgrades.
Oh, that's
so it's like the family plan.
That's very cool. And hell, I'm seeing stuff that Microsoft talk about 8 already.
Yeah. 7 just came out.
Exactly.
I mean, like,
and
really?
8's already coming out. So for $400,
you can have the latest and greatest until the next day.
You can have the latest and greatest garbage. I use 7, so that's what's up.
7's pretty good. I'm pretty impressed with it. Pandora? You listen to Pandora?
A little bit.
They had an IPO. $200 million. That's enough about that one. there's somebody who's incorporating tweets into the classroom. You were a teacher, right?
Yes. I was teaching for 3 years.
Can you imagine? I know you're not the biggest Twitter proponent
on
the planet. Can you imagine bringing in tweets? How would you bring tweets
in? I can't imagine anything of value. Unless you're following people of somewhat importance, like the president. Politicians, and I use that of importance loosely with politicians.
Well, yeah, you could be following Mr. Wiener and all of his tweets. That'll get your classroom shut down.
There you go. Quick.
Yeah. Well, apparently.
Oh, class, there's a dick pic. Sorry.
Teacher, what's a dick pic? It's like that. Did you see the MTV Music Awards? They have a new category called like the best one-liner or something. Mm-hmm. And it's the little girl who says, I want to get chocolatey wasted.
Yes. I love that line.
So apparently the Twitter that they're trying to use in class, the tweets or whatever, is to draw out the shy students. I can't picture, I went to school. I can't picture how I could incorporate, am I tweeting instead of raising my hand? Or?
Yeah, I don't get that, but...
And one of the comments, and I thought this was really apropos, which was, getting students' attention is not teaching, right?
Yeah.
So you allow them to use Twitter, maybe you think you have their attention, maybe you do have their attention, but that's not teaching.
I'm not sure if internet access to students in class is...
In general.
Good idea. Just, individual access is a good idea. So if kids are tweeting while they're in class, I don't know about that. I'd be playing Pac-Man.
Or playing with the Google Doodle.
Yeah, or just doing anything other than listening.
All right, Gareth Perkin on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ewebstyle.
Let's do that later.
Later? Okay.
Because I think that's going to be a good discussion that
you're right.
We will all be able to get into.
That's a good point.
I have a bit of new. I had a couple articles. They're pretty dry, and I'm going to just kind of skim through them. But one thing I did notice is that Matt Cutts announced on Tuesday there will be an update to Panda. When? He didn't say, so thanks for being vague.
Is this like one of those announcements of the future announcement that there will be an announcement?
Yeah. So people hated Panda. A lot of people got screwed. They did not make any manual exceptions. So if you got screwed, so back in the day, they would say, okay, well, this guy got screwed, you know, illegal. Like, we didn't mean to. So we'll make an exception for his website, put him back where they belong. They did not do that this time, so a lot of people got pissed off. So update 2.2 is coming soon. What are they focusing on? Improved scraper protection. So if somebody stole your content and so scraped your content, put it on another website, and they rank close to you or outrank you, something we have seen, they are going to check on that as well. So I was like, okay, that's pretty cool.
That's good.
It's definitely going to help out. Another thing they're saying is exact match domains. They are devaluing exact match domains.
We mentioned this at least a month and a half ago that they were considering it.
That's what they're saying, because people have talked about it. Should you be able to get on the first page of Google for HoustonPlumber.com if someone's searching for a Houston plumber? Probably not, you know.
Well, if that's your business.
How good is your content? Well, how good is your... So I'd say for Google, they're always talking about
good
experience for the user. But if HoustonPlumber.com really just sucks, you shouldn't be on the first page just because that's your domain. So I think it's kind of a step...
In the right direction.
In the right direction. So I think that'll be really cool.
And to be fair, you know, there are a lot of websites that don't have the specific keywords in their names, in their domain names, that place well. But I think, you know, there's, you know, businesses have come to us and said, hey, should I get a new domain? Mm-hmm. And we've tended to say no, and then kind of reevaluate later. If we're having some challenges with a particular client, we may recommend that they get a new domain name. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see this go into place, because, you know, I think it's intelligent if you're starting a plumbing business today that you call yourself Houston Plumbing Service or Houston Toilet Repair or something like that, mm-hmm. Because that is going to have some advantage. It also makes it clear what you're doing. There's some online advantages to that. But if you're an existing business, you should be able to compete with them, and I think Google's really kind of realizing that.
I agree. I think that's probably a good idea in general. And this and there's a question in this article. Let me see what this article was. It's called The Future of SEO by Sam Crocker. And the article was written on thestateofsearch.com, which actually is something I was pretty new to. But he talks about, what is the future of SEO? What do you think is going to be happening? He says, I don't see a great deal. I don't see it changing a great deal in the next 5 years. And I do think that offsite activities may not be link building per se, but will be about content distribution, consumption, and interaction. I agree and disagree. I do think that it will change a great deal in the next few years, because I say if you look at it in the SEO in the past 5 years, I feel like it has changed a lot.
Yes.
Maybe the core has not changed, of just content.
Maybe a better way to say it is it's expanded.
Yes.
Right? So we're still doing everything we did a year, even 2 years ago, as the foundation.
Yeah.
And just that foundation is no longer good enough. You've actually got to start doing
other things. You have to do more. Absolutely have to do more. I think that meta tags will probably not mean anything in 5 years. That's one thing that I think will happen. But it'll be more about your content, your links. And I still feel like links are becoming less important. They still are important, but they're not nearly as important as they were 5 or 10 years ago. Links were extremely important, and now I think they're trying to find a way to give weight to other things like content, like especially user-generated content. So I think content distribution is in content consumption, interaction are going to be really big things coming up in the next couple years for SEO. And that was pretty much it. The article I thought was pretty dry, but and then it talks about infographics. Everybody has seen these infographics, and they're like, please stop with the infographics. You know, you get like this image, and it tries to explain some complex SEO concept.
In a cool graphic.
With a cool graphic, you know, a stupid quote, and then some sample data that's way too small to be real sample data. And it was like, come on, let's stop with that. And that's kind of the new way of link baiting. people create these infographics and then they try to get people, and they have the share button, they try to get people to link to it. I read them all the time. I actually like them.
Me too. I like. I think they're awesome.
I share them. I don't link. I don't, you know, I don't give them a link or link to whatever. But I share them. I think they're really good.
You don't
good.
Tweet about them instantly.
But I think it's cool. What I really got from the article is that Google is in control of the future of SEO. That's really what I got from it. All that really matters is the Google algorithm changes. And what Google, at this point, what Google says is important for everybody. And content is going, is, has always been and will continue to be king for the next few years. There will be some little things, but to do, like you said, to do SEO, you have to do more. You can't just build links. You can't just have good content.
And that depends on the competitiveness of the industry, right? We tend to see some pretty competitive people when they finally walk in our doors. And every now and then we get some, you know, not so competitive clients who are in not competitive industries, or at least their target area is not so competitive. And so the basics usually work for them. So, you know, our pricing is structured based on the competitiveness of a particular client.
And like something that we didn't like, we didn't really discuss, I'd say a year ago, was local.
Local places,
that has been a huge part of SEO now, because hell, the places listings are integrated into the organic listings.
Yep.
So, I do see it changing, and again, Google put that into, I don't even know if they were the first ones to do that, but, you know, Google decided that they're important, we're going to put them in the natural listings, now they're important, so pretty much watch
out. I think they are. I think they're really the first ones as a search engine to provide even local
it's
listings.
The first thing that anybody's going to see
is
their local listings. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I think Google doesn't highlight the sponsored listings anymore. Like,
are they not shaded
color
or anything?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Is this my eyes? Because yesterday I was searching, like, I don't see that.
Well, Charles was saying he was talking with a client the other day, and the client was getting it. Like, she had no idea about internet marketing, mm-hmm. and he mentioned that she was, as she was understanding pay-per-click versus organic, she was like, oh, you mean the shaded area. So maybe it's browser or...
Maybe
we give you a bad monitor.
On Chrome, on mine, like the sponsored ads, it's all white and just upper right hand corner, sponsored ad. And I was like, maybe that's Google's way of trying to blend sponsored ads, knowing that people like organic listings better than sponsored. But maybe that's just me. So and that's the future of.
And then there's that small percentage who don't know what sponsored is. Yeah. Like, really? Those are. Why, I always wondered why they were separate.
Exactly. Yeah.
And never bothered to look at the sponsored ads. So you want to tackle this question? You want to get Charles out here? Hey, Chuck, why don't you come join us?
Great question from a podcast listener. If you have a question about the podcast, go to our Facebook page. You can email us directly from theewebstyle.com. You can go to our Facebook page. You can post it on our page. You can post it on our questions. Do we have a questions tab?
Yeah, there's a questions link on our Facebook page and
discussions.
And discussions as well. All right, Chuck. I don't know if you saw this, so we'll go ahead and read this for the audience. Gareth Perkin, he says, hey, top position snatchers, I have another question from the bottom of the world, New Zealand. I am setting up a site for a client, and they want to rank well in a couple different countries, Australia, New Zealand, and America, for example. How would I do this? Would I build three sites or have one site that links to the other local URLs depending on ISP? If I had three sites, they would need three sets of different content, correct? Thanks again, big fan from New Zealand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we debated this a little bit before we went on air, and we've got a couple of like differing opinions, different approaches, and if this were our client, we'd probably have to actually arm wrestle to come up with the plan of action.
I think there's probably value in both options, right? I mean, sort
so
of like,
what are the what two
what
options?
Are both options?
Well, either A, build three different sites.
Right.
Right, that's option A. Option B would be to use one site with subcategories, similar to how we were going to do... the other client. And so I think it just really depends on how much content you have, who's going to be updating this content. If it's all in-house, then I would probably go with one site. Three different regions will probably be
how competitive
how
competitive the market is
are
paramount.
You optimizing for blue one-eye widgets, or
you know,
is it local, is it a service-based company that that needs to be in a particular city where it, you're only going to get service for 50 miles around it, or can you sell, are you selling these products or services, you know,
across worldwide? The country? Well, you know, and when you say America, we start initially thinking about a national campaign, and a we approach a national campaign a number of different ways. One of them is multiple local campaigns. And local campaigns, well, you know, typically that's all going to be on one website. We may end up making another website mm-hmm. in, if it's competitive enough for each location, for each city, just across the U.S. So, it, you know, the real answer depends basically on competitiveness. I would say if it's not very competitive, that you can probably do really well on, with one site.
Yeah, one site, or maybe even... you know, three translators to translate for whatever region where that language is. And that way you have one site and you focus on all your efforts on that one site. And it's my understanding that if you optimize a site and then you use a translator, mm-hmm. that your SEO is technically translated also. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, is it vary by translator? Should that be Google Translate? Like, is that a, like, Babelfish translator, well, or like a Google translator?
In this case, it is all English. Okay. Right? Okay. So the translator, I mean, there may be some value. This is another interesting point, kind of socially. You're in New Zealand. You use a little bit different English than we use here in the States. Does it bother you when you're reading U.S. English versus, you know, New Zealand or British English? Because if it does, that might be the answer. Yeah. It might not be about SEO. Maybe one page could do well for all countries, but you want to regionalize it so that you're not, you know, whatever your target market, maybe they get pissed off when they read, you know, the yeah. word color spelled without the U. That's, you know, that's yeah. something you got to take into account.
Think about your users. What's going to make them purchase?
I'd say that this is anything that's, if there's some type of local flavor that could affect the site, then I would go local. Like, I would make sure and have the local language, like some, they speak like the Queen's English in, yep. in Britain. You know, if there's some local flavor you can put in it that would help it be seen in a positive light, definitely do it. So then that means, yes, build three separate sites.
And that means reworking content, because yeah. you know, for the most part, they're so similar, they're not going to meet the, what is it, 70% different or yeah. 75% different that Google says, okay, this is not duplicate content. So that really does mean, you know, you can't just replace the word color or a couple words or a couple mm-hmm. of the phrases. You got to rework that content. So it's probably not the answer you were hoping.
Yeah. Well, you could do one site and optimize it globally, right? But it's going to take time to do that. If you're, let's say you're optimizing for Blue One Arm widgets,
I think we show up globally. I think I don't care like what part of the world you're in. If you type in Blue One Arm widgets, you're going to see us probably in first position, at least top three.
For people who don't know, we had a podcast and we're just talking about, hey, you can get on
how easy it is,
first page. We talked about Blue One Arm widgets the whole podcast. Transcribe the podcast, put it on the site, and then now we show up for searches for Blue One Arm widgets. So if it's not competitive, yeah, you could show up globally for that. But if it's something that you feel like is competitive, it's going to take time. So you could come up with one site and rank globally for it, but you're competing with a lot of different people. I kind of feel like you should come up with three different sites, and mainly because this is the first thing that popped in my head when I read this. I know that Australia and I think New Zealand have like country coded domains. I don't know. I can't remember what the .com,
.au, what that's called.
There's a term for that. I can't remember. Australia, I know, has one. If New Zealand has one, I would definitely do a new site just for that only, because I think it's, again, you might be going for people that are looking for someone in Australia, and that could help. So again, like if that's that little local flavor you could put on it.
That's true, because a lot of people, you know, if it's not competitive, it very well may be local. Yeah. By the way, we do know that there are people out there listening to our podcast and then searching Blue One Arm Widgets. Because it's one of our search terms that pops up every now and then. Ah, five people searched Blue One Arm Widgets.
Yeah.
But people tend to like to do business with local people. So if you've got the .au, and you're targeting Australians, then you know we believe that's gonna help. So
yeah, be more value in that way, and not just value, but at the end of the day, it's about the conversion. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if the content is fashioned for that particular user, the domain name is towards that particular user, then, you know, it's worth doing a separate site for that particular user for the sake of getting a higher conversion when they do visit your site.
Absolutely, yeah. That breaks it down.
Also consider this. Yeah. You are, when in the U.S., when we're doing national, you know, if you're trying to rank just nationally, in the States, you know, you're having to outrank all websites in that particular keyword phrase in all 50 states. So if you're going to rank nationally in New Zealand and Australia, you're still competing, you know, I don't know how big New Zealand is, but Australia's a pretty darn big place. So you're still competing with all the people there. So make sure you have, it's good content. It is, and follow the basics. You have the proper keyword density. You go after the right keywords. Your websites are built to convert. So to me, it sounds like you have your work cut out for you. But it definitely can be done, and you can be successful with it. Just, you know, you need to take the right approach. And I'd say email us back and let us know, is this what type of business is this?
What's the market you're going after?
Yeah.
I did forget one review or whatever. IvySense, I don't know if you remember, mm-hmm. sent an email in. Saying that she was selected to do a web analysis, mm-hmm. and we did a web analysis. For those of you guys who don't know, currently it's only going on YouTube. It's not an iPod, it's not a podcast, a video podcast yet. But we do video analysis. If you go to our website, on the right of every page, you'll see a form where you can submit your website for an analysis. We actually do a video analysis. It's the Unknown Secrets of Website Analysis podcast. And well, soon to be podcast. And so go ahead and submit those and get your name in the list. Maybe you'll be one of the lucky few who's selected to have your website analyzed. We'll give you tips like we do, like you see, just mm-hmm. like this, specific to your website, specific to your industry, specific to your location. And then follow it, because you'll see us on Ustream about 30 minutes after this podcast ends. So.
Yeah. And today, all the website analysis is going to be, they're very special today. Chris is going to do all of them. Why? Because today is Chris's birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's his birthday gift.
Yeah. Work. Woo-hoo. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Funny story. Happy last birthday, Chris. I was in California, and there's one guy that we're doing, the project lead out there, his name was Justin. He works for a company called SmartPipe. So my business partner Robert and I and Justin went out to lunch, and Robert paid. And so I looked over at Justin and said, let me understand this. It's my birthday, and I'm paying for 50% of your dinner. Thank you. I saw him yesterday. He's like, am I supposed to take you out again?
Yeah, I know.
My birthday's coming up. Yeah, so I get to do all the website analysis.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, we're giving them work. Wrapped it with a bow.
Back to work. Any?
I got some blanks there. I wasn't going to do it, but because, you know, we try not to get too political on here. We're
trying
to
leave
that to them. But, I guess.
Yeah, that was blink.
No blink that time.
Yeah,
I was on it.
Yeah, oh yeah,
yeah.
You hold us last time with
the
blink.
Yeah,
holding us back.
This one goes out to I do have two of them.
Okay.
First one goes out to Wiener.
Oh gosh.
Which one, the guy or him?
But then I thought about it and I actually tweeted it. You know, if your last name is Wiener, right? What else would you be taking a picture of?
Thank you.
And so
here it is.
Yeah, here it is. He should just do his name. Name, picture.
Yeah. His name should have been at my wiener. But if you don't know, we in the United States, we have a congressman that took some dick pics.
His name is Wiener.
And his last name is Wiener.
Wiener, yeah.
And sent them to some female Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And
that's the second one.
And then tried to deny it. Yeah. Like, I was like, really? Yeah. And then he was like, there may or may not be pictures of me in various states of undress or dress out there. I would not know.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
Who would know? And
I heard a great line from Bill Maher or Mayer, whatever his name is. He says,
if
someone asks you if you sent dick pics and you answer anything but no,
You did it.
Yeah. No, it was John Stewart. He said, and that's a great thing. If you say
anything but no,
you did it.
The second blank stare was to Twitter. Not even for allowing those pics to go through, although y'all should figure out a way to manage that. But for allowing people who create Twitter apps, they got a flaw in their system which allows the developer to get access to user information.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, you know, luckily I'm down with TweetDeck. That's all I use.
Right.
TweetDeck was just acquired by Twitter, so I think I'm pretty safe there.
Right.
But all these other ones, TwitDroid and TwitCaster and of this other stuff.
I use Hootsuite. So somebody could go in and say,
by the way, you don't tweet. What do you use Hootsuite for?
Yeah. Because it looks cool on my profile. I use Hootsuite.
He watches it. He don't tweet, but he watches. He's watching what's going on. Yeah, he's like signing.
So, like, a Hootsuite could go in and download everybody's information? That sucks.
From the developer API.
Thanks, Twitter. No wonder y'all aren't making any money.
That's a reason you deserve personal shot at Twitter.
So that's all I had.
Excellent, good stuff. Well, you have been listening to the most popular SEO podcast on iTunes. It is the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing.
Say it different everywhere.
I don't even know. We're just never.
I don't think it's a insert name here.
Yeah, we're gonna write it down.
That's what I need. I need a teleprompter. You know how to follow us. You can hit us up on email podcast@e-webstyle.com. We appreciate it when you go out onto iTunes and submit a review. Find our Facebook page and our Twitter page and like us and follow us. Those are the things you do on those two things, right? It used to be friend us. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't want friends anymore. We want to be liked. Isn't everyone just... There was probably some psychology study of nobody wants friends. They just want to be liked. They don't even care if they're friends. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
Paul Hansen.
Charles Lewis.
Bye-bye for now.